Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, you're very welcome to this brand new series of podcasts. My name is Maurice O'Keefe, and in this run of podcasts, I hope to illustrate the value of oral history. And in recent times, I was invited back to the town of Kilcormac in the county of Offaly. And the Development Association there selected 10 people for me to interview. And this was the second year in succession that I carried out a project like this. And the result has been amazing in that it creates a tapestry of life there. And this can be heard in the voices of the people. So let's get started. My first visit was to pharmacist Yvonne Martin, and she told me that the doors were opened there in 1948 by her father, Vincent. When he came into town, pharmacy was a very new kind of, people in the old days, they used to call them quacks.
Yeah, chemists and druggists.
But, have you any idea why he took on that role of, you know, that path of work?
I suppose he was one of seven, and he was one of my aunts might have been older than him, and he was the second. So they were the first to get educated, and they were sent out to be educated. And it was in a time where, when he started, he did an apprenticeship and then went to college. Yeah. So he just got taken on by another chemist or pharmacist in a shop and learned the trade and then got a degree, so to speak. So, as I say, he came here on a kind of a whim of somebody else just giving him a nod saying, try this, it might work for you. And it did work for him. But then he was kind of a, even though he was a quiet man, he was kind of outgoing as well. Like he was part of a lot of the things in Kilcormac.
Did he come from a farming background?
No, his father was a builder. My mother and father were both from Sligo, so it was a big jump for them.
Oh, they were blow-ins too.
Blow-ins. We were blow-ins all our lives.
Yeah.
I probably still consider it a blow-in, even though I'm one of the few people that was actually born.
Yeah.
And not, I was born in Brawl, not in a hospital, and born at home. And I was actually born in the town, so to speak.
Christy Hand, a man who is passionate about the game of GAA, I spoke to him about his time training and playing with the local club, but he also had a great knowledge of the history of the GAA locally.
We have a pitch up there that you won't, I tell you, it's better than anything in Ireland.
Okay, that's now.
Yes. But we had the same field, but it was developed and made better and better and better. Now we have one pitch here, another one up there.
Was there a pitch somewhere else before that?
No. That was always the pitch. Or you got an old field, the history field. Killahy got to the senior hurling final. Now this is our parish. They won it in the late 1890s. And in 1907, right, Kilcormac got to the final of the senior hurling with a great team. Killahy got to the final with not as good a team. This is all the one parish. Father O'Reilly was the PP, and the boys wanted to play the final. All the finals played in Kilcormac because it's the middle of the county, right? So what happened? Killahy said, they're not going to play them. We're not going to play them in their own ground. And they never field at all. They played in the farmers' fields themselves, right? Now, in 1911, eventually they said, you either play or lose the medals.
Yeah.
They did the lot. They played the match. And when they played the match, it was played in Rahan. They came from far and near. Oh, this is a true story. They came from far and near. For World War One or Two, it will be at the time. They're going to murder one another. And we, the Kalahis won it. And we had to go through Kalahi to play them, right? Ah, this is mind-boggling. And we went to the final, but we lost five of our players who were gone to England. There was no, they were all farmer's sons. They were still there after the 5 year or 4 year lay. They never played for until 1911. And it was played, and we had to go through Kalahi to go to Rahan, which is a neighbouring parish, to play the final. And they won it, and now we're together, and we're winning the finals now as a dual club now.
Yeah.
We're playing together under Kilcormac, yeah. Killahy.
The local GP in Kilcormac for many years was Dr. Mary Lee. I spoke to her son, Jim, who explained to me how difficult it must have been for his mother when she was practicing there in the 1960s. He explained that she was English and that his father, who was also a doctor, had emigrated and met his mother there, and they both returned to set up a practice in the town.
He bought this house here in town, Collinstown House, in order to practice from here. And he was practicing as a doctor, and he employed people to help out on the farm. And at this stage, myself and my older brother, Eamon, were in a college in Rockwell in County Tipperary. But then disaster struck in that my father developed cancer. He was only in his mid-40s and he died. He came back to Ireland in 1964 and he died in 1967 at the age of 46.
My, leaving your mother with eight of you?
With eight children.
My goodness.
And a farm.
Yeah.
She was English.
Yeah.
And
didn't know the place at all.
And I'm not sure how well her family whether they really wanted her to come to Ireland. It was quite a shock for them, being, if you like, English and the only daughter, marrying this extrovert Irish man, eight kids, and moving back to a farm in the middle of Ireland. It was maybe not quite what they expected.
Did your mother continue her practice then as a doctor?
Well, she had to, because at that stage the farm wouldn't have supported the eight of us. And my mother went into practice here in Ireland in this very house here in Collinstown. And my oldest brother, Eamon, who would have been about 15, 16, he left school and he went farming back in. And at that time, the community around Ballyboy, Kilcormac, were very supportive and they helped my mother.
St. Cormac's Park was built for the Boredom Owner workers in the 1950s. Teresa Kind lived in number 4. I called to meet her and talked to her about first the home that she grew up in and then the transition to the new house. Describe the house to me. Was it
the house
cottage?
Was a thatched house, two rooms and a kitchen. And a barn and outhouses, and we were all there and we had a wonderful time, and you used to go up and work in the bog and in farming and spreading seed and all that kind of thing.
Oh, was it a stone building?
It was a stone building, you know, we whitewashed.
How did you all manage to survive in a two-room house?
Well, there was a settled bed, if you ever heard tell of it. And there was other beds as well. But we all managed. It's so long ago, I nearly forget. We managed all right.
Were the mattresses, were they a feather or were they straw mattresses? Or?
Straw. When the trash, the straw was beautiful and healthy, you know. And it would be so beautiful. Not like now with the road. It was brilliant. And we'd be all looking forward to this beautiful mattress.
Yeah. Oh, would that be changed every year or so?
Every year.
The old straw
so
taken
healthy.
Out.
And, yeah.
Really? And there was no kind of fleas or anything in there?
Not a thing. No. So healthy. The next thing was horsehair mattresses. I remember them. Horsehair. Cut the whatever way they used to get the hair out, or no, they must be cutting their tails. But I do remember people had horsehair mattresses that time before any other.
So in the 1950s, Teresa got married to her late husband, Johnny Coyne, who worked in the Brickhead factory, and they both moved into number 4 St. Cormac's Park in 1961. And I asked her what her first impression was.
When I saw the range, it was so new to me because I was so used to the old. Oh, my God. So we got used to it, and there was caretakers here, and they come in and they fix everything up. And, you know, we got on, and everybody had the same range, and everybody got on well together, and I had no problem.
After I left number 4 and Teresa Coyne, I moved up to number 78 in Kilcormac Park. I'm here talking to John Mitchell in number 78 St. Cormac's Park in Kilcormac. And lovely to be in your house, John, and talking to you.
And you're very welcome.
And we spoke a great length about Bordnamona. But in his early life, he was a great runner, and he spoke to me about the Kilcormac Athletic Club.
I was a cross-country runner as well, like. I guess we had a club here at the time.
What was the club called?
St. Cormac's.
Yeah.
It was a great club. Jack Cox, now he won the 26-mile race, and there was a Monaghan, he was winning to Guinness's, he was good. So I was a fair good runner as well. I won a good out of all things, like, but I run across the bog. I put down sticks across the bog. See, it wasn't developed at the time. And there were swallow holes, you know, you could go down in them. And I used to stick them down every 100 yards, the way back, to help me safe coming back. So I done that for a good few years.
Yeah.
But I went down.
But tell me more about the running. I'm fascinated. So you ran with the club. What competitions did you win?
I won the youth competition. Now I run here. I won a medal here before the houses was built here.
When this was just a field?
Yeah, just a field. They called it Brown's Field that time. And we travelled all over the country. There was a sergeant by the name of Skeehan. And it was terrific, like the joy that had just brought to this town at the time.
The Mulrooney family are farming the land in the outskirts of Kilcormac. John Mulrooney had an incredible knowledge of the local history there. He explained to me that most of the land was divided by the Land Commission after the breakup of the big houses. And he also explained to me that his mother was a domestic girl working for one of these big houses. At that time, the Jackson sisters owned the house and property, and they tried to keep it going. But there came a time when they had to sell the place, and this is what happened.
But going back to Killooly Hall now, that where my mother came out of, Jackson's wound up with that. And one of them was in the house, and she used to go there to Kilcormac, and she used to bring things. She brought lilac to my mother, one rhubarb, and she used to maybe get a cup of tea, I don't know. She was a lady like. The other one was called the horseman. She was a tough old one. She had a big ha-han, she was yet early thinks was a man. She used to plough with horses and all this. But she died. Emily, I think, was her name. And the other one, I don't know what her name was. But she remained in the big house below on her own. And no electricity or no nothing. And she got bet in. And she used to come to the door and she used to shout. You see, and she had a real strong voice. This is what now for my mother telling me. For the neighbours would go down to her. She'd have nothing to eat or something, you know, bring her something. Yes. Yeah, but she stuck it out. She had our land set for sets of different people round about. But she got sick anyway, and she wound up in the hospital in Tullamore. But they transferred her to the Allardyce in Dublin.
Yeah.
So they said, right, they looked at her and they knew she was bet.
In other words, she was going to die anyway.
Yeah. Next of kin. No next of kin. Which was unusual. A solicitor threw up a will, signed it. She closed her eyes and Dada laid under the farm. The hospital.
So, is that true?
That's the truth.
My goodness gracious.
Yes. They said, right, 2,000 is the price of it.
Yeah.
This is in 1950.
And maybe she couldn't pay her bill in the hospital and this was a way of...
I don't know now.
Yeah.
That's the story. So, the people that had it rented in, they wanted the land commission to take it. And what they should have done was gather the 2,000 and buy it and then divide it.
The farming community always played a big part in Kilcormac life. I visited the other side of Kilcormac and I spoke to another farming family. I'm here with Anne Feary in Brahild, which is just outside Kilcormac. Lovely to be with you, Anne, and
right,
talking to you.
Thank you. Mm.
Tell me, how long have you been living here in this lovely place?
I'm 53 years here now, on the 3rd of August there.
Are you? And tell me, where did you come from originally?
I came from Kilcormac, just inside there.
Okay, in the town, in the middle of the town.
Right in the town, yeah.
What was your dad doing for a living?
He was a merchant, we'll call him. He had a shop, and they call him merchant.
What kind of a shop?
We had a shop with nearly everything in it. With groceries, we had hardware, we had children's shoes, and we had a bit of everything in it.
What was the shop called?
William Scully.
And here comes your husband, I'd say.
Yeah.
What's your husband's name?
Billy.
Hello, yeah, Billy. How are you?
I assume you're the man that was...
Morris.
Yeah, Morris.
Billy, do you want to sit around here and talk to us as well? Or?
I can't stay long, though. I have to escort a combine on the road after maybe 20 minutes or thereabouts right now.
But talk to us for a minute.
Well, you have to have you're working in a phone system.
Yeah. Mm. If you get a chair
and pull it over here.
Started farming at 14. Thought I'd never get out of national school at the time. That was in the 50s, of course. As I'd be saying, we're the last generation to have witnessed the two Irelands, the 50s and totally different time. Then the 60s came in. So things were changing rapidly enough in the early 60s. RTE came on the scene. And then the show bands were on the scene. And you probably heard it being mentioned, the miniskirts came around 62 or 3.
I wore a good miniskirt.
And I'm sure the older people that time must have been wondering what is coming over Irish girls.
My next visit was to Tom Buckley, a great character. He grew up in Ballyboy, a parish just outside Kilcormac. He grew up in a family of six boys and they all worked for the Land Commission. And Tom Buckley here explains how he got the job and the kind of work he was doing.
And we went to work with Patsy Lynch. Patsy would have been a son of Mrs. Lynch's, who was a cousin of my father's.
Yeah.
He had a reclamation business. And we went to work with him. So we all done it. Six of us done a term with him.
What kind of work was...
reclamation, digging drains and putting in shore.
Oh, this was during the government scheme. Yeah. The land reclamation.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And when you were working with the land reclamation, were you knocking ditches and all that kind of thing?
Yes. Cleaning scrubs and knocking apple trees and nut trees and everything. We used to love to harvest because you'd never have to bring your lunch. You'd have apples and pears and you'd have nuts and you'd have berries and everything. You could get down there any day and any time and fill yourself with something off of the hedges or the ditches or the forests.
But was that... Did you feel then you were doing something wrong in knocking these ditches?
No, at the time that was what was to make more land.
Yeah.
People wanted
but
more
But knocking
land.
Orchards, knocking...
Oh land. Yeah, well we did, but sure, like it was, a grant was given for it by the state to clean it up. Yeah.
Walking down Main Street in Kilcormac, I dropped into Coffey's Drapery to meet proprietor Anne Coffey, who is the sole trader of the business. And she told me it was first opened by her father in the 1940s. And I asked her, when did she join the business?
I came into it in 1964. I left school and came into the trade.
You were very young.
I was after drawing my intercert, that was known at the time, it's now the junior cert.
Yeah.
And I always had a flair for the shop because as soon as I went to secondary school, school holidays, I was in the shop.
What is it about this business that you like so much?
I just love meeting the people. I love helping people. There's great satisfaction. Even you saw me selling a uniform there.
Yeah.
I just have to see it on the youngsters, see that it's right.
Yeah.
You know, and see my customers going away happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
it's
always
very
a bit of discount too.
Yeah. Not much anymore. No, right. No. Very, very little discount anymore. But with the Ukrainians now, I give them a special 10% discount.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
But when it came to your dad, I mean...
Discount was big, yeah.
And it was all cash too.
Oh, it was all cash. To cash. And then the farmers would come in once a year or whatever and pay by cheque maybe. You know,
And so tell me, Kilcormac then in say the 60s and the 70s, was it a busy town?
It was a booming town. Like my dad came into Kilcormac in 1947 and Bordenamona came in, was it the early 50s Bordenamona came in, you know. And whether he had insight that he saw this coming or what, I don't know. But I mean, it was a big thing to Kilcormac towards Kennedy, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
And all the people leaving their houses in the morning and heading out to the work in the bogs.
That's right, yes.
What was he selling them?
He was selling them literally everything in the line of clothing and footwear. You know. And in those years, Thursday evening was a busy evening because payday was Thursday. And, you know, they'd be down and there was a good lot of credit now in those years and they'd come down and pay so much a week off whatever the goods they had got, yeah.
So we come to the final clip in this oral history collection and it's Liam Hand and I called to Liam's house in Burr Street in just off the main road and I spoke to him about many things relating to the town and his background. And it was a fascinating story. But I particularly liked the piece that he spoke about regarding the early part of his life and what he thought about the town of Kilcormac all those years ago.
Kilcormac at that time was way before it is now because Bordenamona was in position the power station was working. There was lots of work around. And the farmers then, there was two shops in Kilcormac on the main street. One of them, Frank Sullivan owns the supermarket now. That was P&H Egan's. You might have heard of P&H Egan's Tullamore. And they had drying corn, buying corn and dry it and send it off for milling. They had everything there from a needle to an anchor. And then down the other side on the left was Williams's or McCann's. Well, it was D.E. Williams owned it, give every man his due. And that was the other shop. And there was more life in the town that time. Well, it was only half the size it is than there is now. There was a sergeant and three guards here that time. You were pulled for no lamp in your bike, your animals' feet not paired, ditch cutting, ragwort, all that. They were all being done that time, and there were law.
So, going to school, where were you? And
I went to the convent first, from the age of 4 to 7. And then we met our first communion, and we went from the convent to the Boys' National School. It's closed up now, but you'll see it. It's on the Valley By Road. I'll show you all these places in a few minutes. And that's where I went to school till I finished.
Yeah.
I know.
And so did you feel you got a good education?
I did. I got the best that was going. And I remember...
Had you any problems with the nuns or the...
They were contrary old bitches, but they were there to do a job and they done it. I can never say a wrong word about them because I meant to tell you I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Oh, are you now?
A day at a time. And they helped me when I was going through the...
Going through that giving addiction.
Up.
But so, but before we get to that, talk to me about what you did in your life. I mean, what was your work? What did you...
Oh, I worked at everything. And then I got a job on the council. I worked in Dernlock in the brick factory with Bourne and Mona. And my politics didn't suit. They were going to send me from Dernlock to Lanesborough down in County Longford, which was miles away. And I came home from England to see, to stay with my mother.
Yeah.
And I left the job and I went out and I worked on the council for the rest of the time.
But you were in England first.
I was in England for a while, yeah.
Well, what did you do over there?
Everything. Everything. Was in the army and in the Irish Guards. I joined the Irish Guards Regiment. I had the height in that, so I was in that and I was in the Metropolitan Water Board.
So I hope you enjoyed listening to the sound clips taken from the Kilcormac collection in County Offaly. And it has recently been released and is on our website, that's irishlifeandlore.com. It's also available in the county library in Tullamore. So I hope you get a chance to listen to the full-length interviews because they're all excellent. So my name is Maurice O'Keefe and thank you for listening.